Ephesians chapter 4, as we are going through scripture by scripture, and we are going to continue where we stop, and we are going to go through verse 6, 7, and 8 today. 7 and 8. And here we are going to continue, and if you remember last time, we have been studying the unity in the church. And we saw the oneness. Oneness in the Godhead and also oneness in the body. So we saw the oneness here in the church, and now Apostle Paul is going the same direction, but also he is under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is focusing from unity in the body to the individual. So he is focusing from the unity in the body to the individual now. Alright? And here verse 7 says, but to each one of us, now there you go, before you saw a lot of things on one body, one spirit, okay, and unity of the spirit, one faith, one baptism, now he goes, but to each one of us. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, what is this grace? It says here, grace was given to each one of us. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Is this the saving grace? Here we see that grace was given, and to all the believers, grace is given, and this is the ministerial grace. And this is not the saving grace, but this grace is given for equipping the saints, and this is called the gift of grace that comes out of saving grace. This is the fruit of the saving grace, comes the gift of grace for the equipping the body. Because without this grace, we cannot serve God. So, just like the saving grace, we don't deserve the gift of grace either. The distributor of this gift of grace is Christ. He gives the gift of grace to equip the body. And he measures it according to his will and his purpose, and he distributes to each individual in the body. So the gift of grace is just like the saving grace, which we don't earn. We didn't earn it. So basically, when God gives the gift of grace, just like the salvational grace, that we never earn the grace of salvation. The gift of grace also, it is given by Christ. It is not earned by us. So, that means there is no boasting. If you want to become a nurse, an engineer, a doctor, a welder, a chef, cook, you need to go to school and get an education of that line. And you become a professional. And you can boast what you did. But here, no boasting, because it doesn't come from education. God gives this to us. And also, once you become a professional, whatever job you are doing, you can contribute to that company. This is how the world operates, but it does not operate that way in Christianity. In Christianity, we are living in a world that is opposed to Christ, opposed to God's will. The gift of grace is given for us to mutually to help one another, to edify one another. And here it is given so that we can evangelize, we can witness, and we can make disciples. We can go to seminary or Bible college to learn of Christ and to learn of theology and to how to evangelize, how to make disciples, but we cannot do it without the grace of God. So the gift of God, the gift of grace is from God, and the Spirit of God gives this to accomplish His will. We are talking about souls here. The souls who are lost, who are in darkness, who are dead in sin. And there's no way we can bring them through education. There's no way we can bring them through our own wisdom or through our own strength. It is done only by the grace of God. And we become His tools to accomplish this purpose. And we need to be equipped. And God gives us the gifts of grace to do that. God gives us in Christ the gift of grace, so we will be equipped for His service. And that's what Apostle Paul talking here. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, the gift of grace, it comes from Christ Jesus, as we are the body, and He's the head. Right? He's the head, we are the body. The head decides what to do. The head is the one that gives what is good for the body. Now, the head has all the authority and the power. And He can give anything what He wants to. Turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 35. We will be going through a lot of scriptures today. John chapter 3, 35. It says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand." So the head decides, because everything is given to His hand, and He decides. He imparts this grace for us, and the fullness of His grace we receive from Him. So He is the one who imparts this grace. He is the fullness of grace and wisdom, everything comes from Him. Turn with me to John chapter 1:16. John chapter 1:16. "And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." Wow. Christ gives us the grace. This should bring what? Humility to us. Because we do not deserve anything. But our work in Christ is because of His grace. And this should bring us humility, and there's no room for boasting. There's no room for pride. There's no room for our flesh to glorify ourselves, because man cannot receive anything except it is given from heaven. Matthew 11:25. Jesus said, "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank You, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Your sight.'" Wow. Amazing. How God gives grace to the humble, to the poor, and how God gives grace to people who have absolutely no education, like John Bunyan, people like that. No education, and use their people for His glory. How God can use people like fishermen who have no education by the grace of God and show His power. And so here there's no way that we can glorify ourselves, because it's God's power. It's His grace. 1 Corinthians 1:29. "That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And Apostle Paul was a very proud person, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was the only one who God chose him to be the educated apostle. But I'll tell you, when God chose Apostle Paul, he was knocked down to the ground to show the power of God. God chose him because God has elected him to serve him. And see Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8. Apostle Paul said, Ephesians 3 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints. He says, me, I'm the least of all the saints. That means he is comparing himself to the least of everybody. Comparing himself to the least of all the Christians, he is saying he's the lowest of everybody. Then he says, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wow. But God gave him the grace to preach, to do a task that looks impossible. To preach to the Gentiles. That is an impossible task. But, wow. What kind of power was there in Apostle Paul's ministry. It was all by God's grace. And he's saying here, he was the least of all the saints. But it was by the grace of God that the ministry was done. So this should touch us to rely only on Christ. A lot of times we get into our ways of doing and we try to help God, or my way is the best way, instead of truly praying and seeking the Lord and trusting in God and not ourselves. Because without Him, we cannot do anything. So this should say how precious is His mercy and His grace that He has given us. Christ gave this gift to the body, and they are not the same. They are not the same. He does not look. If you are going to select somebody for some kind of a job, you will look at their education. You will look at their qualifications, experience. You will even look at their personality, how they look, how they, you know. You look to all these things that is external. But God is not going to give gifts like that. He will not look to our education. He gives according to His will, not according to our ability. God can make a donkey talk if He wants to. He had done that. He can even allow the stones to praise Him if He wants to. And we are just made of out of dust of this earth. And these gifts of grace is given to glorify Him. So there are different gifts, but it comes from the same Lord. It doesn't come from different people. It comes from the same Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Some of these gifts are very noticeable gifts. We are going to get into this later on as we get in the book of Ephesians on another Sunday. And some of them are very noticeable, like a pastor. It's the teaching and preaching ministry. It's very noticeable. You can see that. Evangelists and the others who are very noticeable gifts, like the Sunday school teachers or people who teach Bible studies. It's like our body, our hands we can see, our feet we can see, and we can see the parts in us. But there are some that we cannot see, like the liver and the kidneys, the heart. And these organs are also hidden in our body, but it is very essential for the body. Because if one of these organs become weak, and it doesn't, then the body cannot function anymore. We die. In the same way, you know, there are some God has given these gifts of grace to the body that cannot be seen. But, you know, the other day when Carlos was doing the video thing, and I was seeing how much time and effort is being put to the advanced preparation, the background scenes. You know, in the same way, I give an example of my wife, you know, and if not for her, I cannot spend a lot of time in studying the Word of God and doing the works of a pastor, because I don't have time to do all the kitchen work and the laundry work. So it's so important that God gives gifts, and some of the gifts that we think it's not important is really important for the function of the body. God will not give the same gift to everyone. Example is, if you see, it's just like our own body. If I'm a mouth, all you can see is a mouth, and for the rest of my life, I'll be just talking. That's all I can do. And if all of us are pastors, then there will be nobody hearing here. It's Romans chapter 12 also. Look to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. That is exactly Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7 is saying, that the gifts have been given according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberally. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And Apostle Paul goes on and on and on, some of the gifts he has given. Now verse 8, Ephesians 4, 8. Therefore, that means it goes along with verse 7. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Apostle Paul, he quotes a part of an Old Testament scripture, Psalm chapter 68, verse 18. So if you turn with me to Psalm 68, 18. You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have received gifts among men. He used that portion of the scripture here. Now, many of the Jews, they believe on Psalms chapter 68 verse 18, when it comes to, they don't believe it is talking of the Messiah. They believe that is Moses. Now, how do they come with that interpretation? Because they believe the scripture is speaking of Moses, who ascended up to Mount Sinai and giving of the law. So Moses ascended into Mount Sinai and giving of the law, and then led captivity free, the Israelites, they've got the law, so they went free. Of course, the law did not make anyone go free. Right? The law convicts of our sins. And some of the Jews says he's talking of David, King David. King David never ascended up on high. Now, Psalm 68 is a psalm of triumphant. There is a celebration in Psalm 68 when King David brought the Ark of God. Ark of God is really a symbol of God's presence. And the Ark was brought to Jerusalem, and there was a celebration. Historically, it shows how God was victorious over his enemies, but prophetically, this was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead and ascended up to heaven. Because Christ, he defeated his enemies and ascended triumphantly to the right hand of the Father. So this scripture is talking of the Messiah ascending up to heaven. Note the word high in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8. When you see the word high, the height here, it is talking about the sanctuary that is in heaven. The heavenly sanctuary. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 102, 102:18. Psalm 102:18. That really goes along with what we are talking. Psalm 102 verse 18 says, "This will be written for the generations to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Wow. The psalmist wrote this. This is going to be for the generation to come. People yet to be created will praise the Lord. Now here we are praising the Lord. We came generations after. When this was risen, right? Then verse 19 says, "For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion as his praise in Jerusalem, when peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord." Amazing scripture that goes along with it. Now, when Christ descended from heaven to earth, what did it show? When Christ descended from heaven down to this earth, it showed his humility, isn't it? So the word ascending has to do with his glory. If descending has to do with humility, then the word ascending has to do with his glory. That how Christ was going to be glorified. Turn with me to John chapter 17 verse 1. John 17:1 says here, "Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." Here we see, going to the cross and doing the work that he was called to do, and going to be crucified, and then after he is going to be buried, then he is, after 3 days, he is going to be ascended to heaven. That he is going to be glorified. And when Christ ascended to heaven, Book of Ephesians says he ascended, right? When he ascended up on high, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he ascended not in his own body. When he ascended, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses and many cults, they believe that he ascended as a spirit. That his spirit ascended. A spirit, a ghost, you cannot see. A spirit cannot be seen. Now, if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, we see it is the very literal body of Christ. So the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now see verse 9, he says, "Now when he has spoken these things, while they watched," that means, "he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his sight." And verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." And here it says, while they were looking steadfastly towards heaven as he went up. That means a spirit, you don't see a spirit going up. They were looking steadfastly at the Lord Jesus Christ ascending up to heaven. And once he was ascended up to heaven, he would be exalted in glory like before. What do you mean, like before? Turn with me to John chapter 17, verse 5. John 17, 5. Jesus said, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Christ. Wow. You know, it's God who came down in human flesh. That's humility. When he ascended, it was the glory of God. Back again, he went back to his same position, which he had with the Father. Amazing. Now, God saved us from the death of sin. He raised us from the grave. He also took our names. He took our names, that means the believers' names, to heaven with him when he ascended to heaven. Do you know that? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 here. Ephesians 2, 6. "And raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So here, not only God raised us from the grave when we were sinners, totally blinded, you know, he raised us from the grave, you know, we became alive to God now. But not only that, he has made us sit together in the heavenly places. Do you know that? Our names are there. God, the Lord, took us in a spiritual sense that we are seated with him in heavenly places. Wow. That means you can say your name and say that you are seated together in Christ Jesus in heaven. Amazing, isn't it? Not only that, he went to prepare a place for us. He went to prepare a place for us. When Christ went, he went in his own body. Yes. Real flesh and bones. It's a heavenly body, but it's a real body. And also when we go to heaven, it's going to be a real body. Alright? He went to prepare a place for us. John chapter 14, verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." This particular scripture encouraged me a lot. Because, you know, we who are struggling on this earth, we who are going through difficulties on this earth, we who are paying so much bills, and there's a kind of a rush going on every time, and we are living kind of in a rat race today. And sometimes we love to take a vacation, and we look forward to that vacation. And sometimes the day that you're going on a vacation, the day before, it's kind of hard to sleep because you are looking forward to that vacation. And when you are going on that vacation, it gives us such, it's so great that we know, oh, I don't have to go to work. And when you're on vacation, you can really enjoy because you don't have to go to work. You can relax. But vacation is going to come to an end. When it comes to an end, and say, tomorrow, I got to go back. Don't feel like going. Coming back to your own home and go back to your work again, it's not easy. It is tough. But I'll tell you, when we go to heaven, Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. Heaven is a paradise. You don't have to go to Hawaii. It is forever. You don't have to come back to this miserable earth again. It's forever. How great is that? You know, it says that we are seated in the heavenly places. Just imagine you're seated with Christ. Imagine that. Isn't that great? Christ, it says in Ephesians 4:8, He ascended on high, He led captivity captive. That means He did engage in a warfare on our behalf, on believers' behalf, as we were in captivity with the devil, with the world, with sin and death and hell. Just imagine these things. We were in captivity. We were in captivity with the devil, powerful creature, and with the world, and in sin and death. How can you get out of death? We are not talking that you owe something death. We are talking real death. And also, in hell, there's no way you can get out. You are in total captivity. But Christ, He gained absolute, complete victory over all of our enemies, as He is the head of the body. And this is the greatest story that we can ever tell. And look at the following scripture now. This shows, this is the result of what Christ have done. Alright? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That is the result of what Christ has done. Praise God. Sin cannot rule over us anymore. Cannot rule. Sin has no dominion in us anymore. He cannot rule us anymore, as the Holy Spirit in us gives us the power to walk in God's will, as Christ have conquered sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans 6, 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourself. The word reckon is an accounting word. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Christ conquered sin. Sin doesn't have to rule in ourselves anymore. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And also, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, not only He conquered sin, but also He conquered death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruptible and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought past the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow! Sin was conquered. Death was conquered. Satan has his power is been broken, and here we are. He led captivity captive, and then not only that, he gave these gifts to us for the glory of God. Death will not take us to hell, and the power of death was conquered by Christ Jesus. He delivered us from captivity and triumph over all our enemies. Gave us gifts of grace to edify the body and to bring others to Christ. How can you bring others to Christ? There's no way. Look, they are lost in sin. They are in sin. They are dead in sin. They are in captive in the hands of the devil, and you cannot raise a dead person, and you cannot take that person out of the devil's hand. And also, they are on their way to hell. There's no way you can do that. But Christ gives us the gifts. He gives us the gifts of grace for the ministry. He delivered us from captivity and triumph over all our enemies. So he gives his gifts to us. Now, this happened only when the Holy Spirit came. This happened only after Christ ascended to heaven. You had to understand that, right? He didn't give these gifts before that, of course, for the church here. He gave that only after he ascended to heaven. That's what the scriptures say. Alright? Not before that. So turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 26. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, or when the Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. See verse 16 and chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So here, only after he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit came, God gave these gifts, and the disciples were fired up. Peter, before, he denied Jesus three times. He was scared when he saw the Lord was taken up. He knew what his crucifixion was, and he denied Jesus three times. And after the Holy Spirit came, what a change! They were all fired up. They had no more fear of men anymore. There was boldness, and God's power was manifested in their lifestyle and in their preaching. They were able to bring many souls to Christ, and many were saved. That is without computers, without high technology of any kind. But today, God has blessed us with all kinds of communication where they did not have. We can bring even much more glory to God where they did not have. But I wonder, why is it that today that we are kind of the church has become so slow. Why is it that the most Christians today are different from the early church? Why is it that they are so slow in preaching the gospel to the unsaved? Why is it that most of the Christians are just sleeping? And why is it that with all the high tech, not only we have all the high tech, we don't have persecution? During that time, there was persecution, and that was another obstacle. But today, no persecution. With all the high tech, with all the blessings that is given us, why is it that, what is the reason that many are not doing what Christ told them to do? Is it because, why? You think about it. Where is the power of the Holy Spirit? Where is the boldness? Why is it that people are so fearful to witness and to talk about Christ? Where are the gifts of grace today? The answer is because many are conforming to the world of sin. Matthew chapter 24 verse 12, Jesus said, Matthew 24:12, last days, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Yeah. There's kind of a coldness in the body. It's more like the chosen and frozen Christians. We are the chosen, but we are kind of frozen. We are freezing. We are frozen. There's no zeal. There's no fire. It's kind of warming up the pews. And it's so, you know, and this kind of thing, that's what is happening. Otherwise, we can do even greater things. With all the things what we have. Just imagine if the apostles were here today. And when, of course, we have the Holy Spirit in us. So what's going to happen if we have the Holy Spirit in us? So what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit is grieved. That's why there is no power. That's why there is no boldness. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. When you wake up in the morning, give thanks to the Lord that He has given you another day. And pray that the Lord will bless your day, so the Lord will bless you and will use you, and that Lord will bring somebody in your, for that day in your life, so that you can be a blessing to that person or blessing to many. At the end of the day, when you go to sleep and meditate and pray on these things, what you have done for that day. How was my day? And meditate upon those things. How did you spend your time? And see, what have you done in service for the Lord or in the Lord? Even a little thing can be a great, you know, we are not talking of big things here. We are talking just little things that comes in front of your way. Helping somebody. Giving somebody a word of encouragement. You know, if somebody is doing something wrong, correcting that person. And showing your Christian behavior, being a light to somebody, very little things can go a long way. And think about those things. And that can go a long way. And here we are. We have been blessed by the Word of God. And this Word is powerful. And Jesus did all the work. And we saw the word victory many times. We saw the word triumphant many times. Man, Christ had to do all that work on behalf of us. And how we need to be thankful for all what He did. Just imagine, He ascended up to heaven. and seated at the right hand of God. Not only that, he loves the saints so much. You know, he loves the saints so much that he is interceding for us. A lot of times we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. But Christ is interceding for us in his prayers. And he is there for us all the time. And here we are today. So that's why we need to take these things so much into our hearts and treasure these things, that we would live according to these things. We would, how can you ever forget what Christ has done for you? How? It is impossible. And how we need to just love him. You know, if you can only see what Christ has done and everything what he has done and all the things what is happening in the world, just remove everything from and just give glory to God and praise him for all what he has done. And I'll tell you, you know, when you have a relationship, a love relationship with God through Christ, and you have a, you know, you have a zeal and a great, it's powered up for Christ. Somebody said, have gone bananas for Christ. And that's where the apostles were. Nothing could stop them. Nothing. Nero could not stop him. Caesar could not stop them. They were lions of wild animals could not stop them. Nothing of the devil could not stop them. Because what Christ was in them, the power of the Holy Spirit was there. And they did everything by the grace of God for the glory of God. May the Lord bless you and profit you this sermon. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for edification. As we need to be edified, we need to be revived. We need to be refreshed by the word of God. And a lot of times, our flesh can easily take control. And flesh wants to rule over us. But cause us to remind us, thank you for reminding us, Lord, that sin cannot rule us anymore. Because Christ has defeated the power of sin. So, Father, we ask, Lord, all what we heard today, that we would really take, that we would heed to the words and take dearly into our hearts, Lord. And that we would savor the delicious words of Christ. And that we would meditate upon those things, Lord. And that we would not walk according to our feelings and our emotions. And that we would not worry about those things. We will not have dreams that of tomorrows or anything like that. But Lord, also at the same time, we need to have a vision. We need to have a goal. But Lord, you are the one who will lead us into those ways. So we ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would use each one of us in an effective way, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you would give us the gifts of grace, Lord, that it will be manifested and it can be used for your glory alone, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand.